I wonder if you ever read the little article that you see in newspapers or on some websites, on this day, such and such a thing happened in such and such a year. Well, what about January the 7th? Today's date. On this day, January the 7th, 1933, what happened? The funeral took place of the American president, Calvin Coolidge. It took place in the Edwards Congregational Church, Northampton, Massachusetts. One of the hymns that was sung at his funeral was the hymn that we have just sung tonight, O Love, That Wilt Not Let Me Go. Apparently, according to Mrs. Coolidge, that hymn was the president's favourite. My hymn was composed on the evening of the 6th of June, 1882, when I was 40 years of age. I was alone in the manse at that time. It was the night of my sister's marriage, and the rest of the family were staying overnight in Glasgow. Something happened to me which was known only to myself and which caused me the most severe mental suffering. The hymn was the fruit of that suffering. It was the quickest bit of work I ever did in my life. I had the impression of having it dictated to me by some inward voice rather than of working it out myself. I am quite sure that the whole work was completed in 5 minutes. Those are the words of the author himself, George Matheson. He was born in Glasgow on the 27th of March, 1842. Before he was very old, it was discovered that he suffered from a disease which would eventually cause him to become completely blind. Despite this, he pressed on with his studies and in due course entered university, graduating with honours when he was 19. It was while at university that he suffered the stunning blow which later prompted the writing of his beautiful hymn. He had met and fallen in love with a young woman, also a student at the university, and in due course they planned to be married. But then George had to tell her the awful news that one day he would be blind. Would she still marry him? To his astonishment and grief, her blunt answer came, striking to his heart with the force of a dagger, "I do not want to be the wife of a blind man." And with that they parted. George's first pastorate lasted 18 years. It was during this time that he received a summons to preach before Her Majesty Queen Victoria. His ministry continued long and faithful and fruitful until August the 28th, 1906, when on a much needed holiday he was called home to be with his Saviour. His body was laid to rest in the family vault at Glasgow. So there we have the author of the great hymn, O Love, That Wilt Not Let Me Go. The hymn that we have sung tonight, President Coolidge's favourite hymn, George Matheson's hymn, is a hymn that emphasises the love of Christ for his people. You see, the Lord Jesus has a special love for you tonight if you're saved. Oh yes, he loves the world. Of course he does. He loves everyone on planet Earth tonight. There's no doubt about that. That's what the Bible teaches. But the Bible does not teach that his love for all people is exactly the same. The Bible does not teach that his love for the world is the same as his love for his people. You don't find that in Scripture. But what the Bible does teach is that his love for his children, those who have been washed by his blood, is a special kind of love. Take, for example, a school. And for those of us who have to do the school run, we go to the school each day and we see all the children and they're running out to meet their parents. Now, I hope that we all love the children as we look at them, as we see them. Hope we all have a love for those little ones, for every one of them. But whenever we see our own children, it's a different kind of love, isn't it? There's a special love for our own little ones. That's the love that's being described in, O love, that wilt not let me go. So what about this great love of Christ for his people? First of all, let me say it's a love that defies logic. It's a love that defies logic. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We'll read a few verses. The 7th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're reading here about the Lord's love for Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 7. But we can apply his love for Israel to us as his people, his Christian children. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That passage is teaching us that the love that the Lord had for Israel defied logic. He loved Israel because he loved them. Why did the Lord love Israel? Just. You see, it's the same for us tonight as believers. Why does the Lord love us? He loves us because he loves us. Why does the Lord Jesus love us, his children? Just. His love defies logic. Do you know why his love defies logic? Because there is nothing lovable about us. There's nothing lovely about us. We do not attain his love. We do not earn his love because of what we do. Actually, the opposite is the case. We have done many things that are wrong and sinful and wicked and evil. But yet, he sets his love upon us. That phrase, set his love upon you, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's a beautiful phrase. The Lord did not set his love upon you. Do you know what those words, set his love, actually mean? It means to fasten upon. The Lord fastens his love upon Israel. And you see, brother, sister in Christ, that day or night that you received, whether it was in a building, church building or mission hall, or whether it was during the week, just out as you went about your business and the Holy Spirit just spoke to you and he saved you there. Wherever it was, whenever it was, I want to tell you tonight that he fastened his love upon you. And you see, that's why we can talk tonight about a love that won't let us go. The love that fastened itself upon us that day or that night we were saved, that same love will never let us go. It will never relinquish it. Its grasp upon us. Yes, his love defies logic. This love of the Lord Jesus for his children is a love that defeats loneliness. It defeats loneliness. What did we read tonight in Proverbs chapter 17? A friend loveth some of the time. No, a friend loveth at all times. George Matheson suffered three great losses during his lifetime. The first was obviously the loss of his sight. What a blessing our eyesight is. Do you ever just get before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you that I can see. This hymn writer lost his sight at 18 years of age. Can you imagine that? We could talk tonight about other hymn writers who had disabilities and other hymn writers, in fact, who were blind, like George Matheson. Take, for example, the author of Sweet Hour of Prayer. Did you know that he was a blind man? He was blind physically, but certainly not blind when it came to the things of God. And he penned that hymn that blesses us as we meet for prayer. Fanny Crosby, again, blind. But yet the Lord used her to write countless hymns that are still being sung in our church today and, please God, will continue to be sung. But there he was, Reverend Matheson, and he was a blind man. The loss of his sight. He suffered not only the loss of his sight, he suffered the loss of his sweetheart. We've read about that, I've told you about that tonight. His fiancée, who he was engaged to, but she didn't want to spend her life with a blind man. She broke off the engagement. And so he lost his sweetheart. And then he lost his sister, because she had lived with him for a number of years. Even when he was a minister, they lived together in the same house, and she was such a help to her blind brother. But the day came whenever she fell in love. And she eventually got married, and she moved out, and she left him. And he lost his sister. Three losses in his life. But I want to tell you folks tonight, there was something that he didn't lose. The love of the Lord Jesus. Because it's a love that defeats loneliness. Loneliness is something that many people suffer from today. Some of you good folks, you're going home tonight to houses where there's nobody else there. There'll be nobody waiting for you when you go home. But let me say, actually, there will be somebody waiting for you. You can't see him with your physical eyes, but he is there. It's your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Because he is always with you. And he's not a fair weather friend, but he's someone who stays with his people every day of their lives. So thank God for the love that defeats loneliness. This wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no love like it. We've sung that tonight. Don't you agree that the hymn writer was correct when he said, there is no love like the love of Jesus? Oh, the love of a husband and wife is a wonderful love. The love of a parent to a child is a wonderful love. But there's no love that comes near the love of Christ for his children. Our love for him, now that's a different story. If I was to tell you about my love for the Lord tonight, I'd get a red face and become very embarrassed. Because I know, if I'm honest, that my love for Christ is not nearly what it should be. But his love for me is, it's just wonderful beyond description. So the love that George Matheson wrote about was a love that defies logic. And a love that defeats loneliness. Let me say thirdly tonight that this great love of Christ is a love that draws the lost. It's a love that draws the lost. See, we've read that tonight in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. But notice the rest of the verse. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Isn't it thrilling that the love of the Lord Jesus draws sinners to himself? This great love that we, as believers, that we have experienced, this great eternal everlasting love, That's the love that draws the lost to Christ. And every one of us experienced that drawing power that day or that night that we were saved. The love of Christ drew us to him. You see, folks, you notice the scriptures say, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It does not say I have dragged thee. The Lord Jesus doesn't drag anybody to himself kicking and screaming. It never happens. No, he draws people to himself. And thank God for the millions of people across planet Earth tonight living on this little speck in the universe. Thank God for the millions of people tonight who have been drawn to Christ. And his love has won their hearts. And I trust that that's the case with every one of us tonight. You see, that's what Christianity is all about. It's all about love. That's what the gospel and our relationship with the Lord is all about. It's all about love. Some people wrongly think it's about law. You know, tick all the boxes, keep all the rules. Of God, it's so wrong. It's all about love. Religion tells you to tick the boxes and keep all the rules. Redemption gives you something so different and something, you know, way above religion. Folks, never be satisfied for such a miserable existence as that. Come to Christ and experience the full blaze of his wondrous love. I'm glad tonight that his love draws the lost. Let me say finally that his love is a love that demands loyalty. It's a love that demands loyalty. The Lord Jesus has loved us with an everlasting love. And we've read tonight in Romans chapter 8 how that nothing can separate us from his great love. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what our cage of circumstances is like. Came across that phrase the other day and I thought it was tremendous. Cage of circumstances. We all have a cage of circumstances. But the love of Christ can overcome all that. His love can overcome our situation no matter how bleak it seems to be. No matter tonight if we seem to be in a long dark tunnel and we can't see any light at the end of it. Thank God we have a love that the darkness can't overcome. The Lord Jesus, he loves us no matter how low we go. No matter how bad a day we've had. No matter how much of a failure we think ourselves to be. And the devil comes to us and he accuses us and he says, look what you were thinking about. How can you call yourself a Christian? Remember what you said. Don't be a hypocrite and say and think you're a believer. Do you remember what you did? You're some Christian. That's what Satan is like. But I want to tell you tonight that the love of the Lord Jesus is unconditional. Okay? It's not like, you know, the little temperature gauge and the thermometer. That's the word I'm looking for. The mercury going up and down. Some people think the love of the Lord Jesus for his people is like the mercury going up and down. You need to read the Bible. The love of the Lord Jesus for his people never changes. It's just constant. It's the same. That's the love that the Lord has for you tonight, Christian. Now, in light of this great love that he has for us, I think we owe him loyalty. Wouldn't you agree? We have a duty to say with the hymn writer, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. People talk about pledging allegiance to the Queen. Pledge allegiance to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the country. That's all well and good. But first and foremost, folks, it should be, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Isaac Watts coined it so well. He penned it so well. In his great hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, but you remember the last verse of that hymn? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.